you know, glad to be here. I think what you're doing is very important. I think raising awareness about this, having people feel not alone, having people, you know, realize that this is something very common, treatable, that there are, you know, better days ahead.
But to be fair, that's sometimes how therapy works too. Sometimes you have to have a few wrong answers before you find the right one.
Yeah.
If you could please just increase your volume just a little bit.
Welcome to season 5. Who knew we'd make it this long?
Hey everybody.
Hey everybody. Welcome back to another week of Hi. Bipolar Girl. Hey Amy, welcome back. Wow, what an exciting time. The leaves are finally starting to fall.
Yeah, our yard is covered in leaves.
I know. It's days like this where I wish I lived in Amy's condo overlooking the Lake Michigan.
Well, on Halloween, you would have gotten a minor blizzard.
Yes, you guys had snow. That's right.
Did you go out and play
in
it?
I woke up wondering why it was that my humidifier was emitting all this white dust, and then I realized the white dust was outside and it was snow.
Oh,
that's great.
I can only imagine. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, I heard stories about like what was happening in Chicago and in Michigan. I know someone that's in like, I guess on the western side of Michigan, north up near one of the port cities, and they were just like inundated with snow. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're down here basically still wearing shorts and sweaters.
Yeah, it was 67 degrees today.
And I'm still in my Crocs and socks. I know.
Does he really wear Crocs with socks?
Yes, he does.
She's like, oh, no. Fashion foul.
Fashion foul. He does. He wears them proudly.
Look, I told Rebecca, I said, if my friends knew, like, that I'm now have just given up. And I'm wearing Crocs and socks and sweaters. They'd be like, Steven, this needs to be an intervention. What's going on? Like, they wouldn't be able to believe it. Like, even Amy's like, yeah, I can't believe it either. I have nice stuff. Rebecca and I both have them. We just don't wear them a lot.
Well, there's nowhere to wear it to.
Yeah, you know, you live in the middle of nowhere. Like, what are you going to do? Like, put on my pair of Taft boots to go to, like, Apple?
The grocery store.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would love to. But I guess, you know, working.
Well, you know, Grandma used to always dress up to go to the grocery store. Grandma Norma always dressed. She put her earrings on and her makeup on. And she was always dressed for the grocery store.
I had a great aunt who was perfectly coiffed, makeup flawless, to go into labor.
Oh, nice.
Well, no, I mean, my goodness.
Absolutely flawless while having a baby.
Well, you couldn't let the physician see you without looking your best.
That's right. She was ready for pictures.
That's true. Here we are, hippies, like, taking pictures when my son was first born. My buddy called me the other day. He goes... Not the other day, but it felt like it was just the other day. When Sebastian was first born, I sent him a picture. He goes, dude, like, I mean, no offense. He goes, you know, your wife's boob is in the picture. I said, dude, she just had a baby.
Like, everything was disheveled.
I was like,
Steven's just taking pictures.
I'm just taking pictures. It's just another day in, you know, in La La Land for us. So, yeah, no, you really, you know, it's funny because, you know, you're talking to a person who used to iron their underwear.
Ew. Why?
Well, especially, okay, so you know the white part right here on your undershirts? Like when you wore collared shirts open.
Okay, your undershirts, not
your underwear. Well, no, that just came with the territory. You just ironed them because you didn't want them to have wrinkles. And so I used to iron my undershirts, and it used to take me like literally an hour or two to get ready because I'd have my clothes laid out. And back then, I was like a super Banana Republic fan. If there are any 90s kids that went through college in the 90s and the 2000s. Simpsons. I was a Banana Republic kid, and so I'd have all my clothes laid out when it was time to go out tonight, to the club, and or out to parties. Yeah, I mean, I used to just love fashion.
You still love it. You just don't wear it.
I'm too fat to like it as much as I used to.
You still love it. You just don't wear it.
That's true too. That's very true.
You made us all watch the fashion show. What was that fashion show?
Oh, Louis Vuitton. Did you watch the Louis Vuitton?
Wow.
Okay, those are our dogs, everyone, if you're wondering. I thought we graduated from animals in the background, but you know, that's for a real experience. So, yeah, but no, like, I guess it was the Louis Vuitton. I think it was the spring. I think it was the spring on a fashion show. They were in Paris, I believe, and it was completely outdoor. They had a gospel choir, and they walked the length of this old bridge, and you had Pharrell, you had Beyonce and the whole crew. They were all there on the front line, and just it was one of the coolest fashion shows from a creative standpoint that I've seen probably in a long time. But you know, it was cool stuff. Listen, some of the clothes though was like $2,500, $5,000. I was like, yeah, a couple months of mortgage, you know. Like, I don't know. I mean, I still like TJ Maxx and Marshalls and secondhand.
Mm-hmm. Poshmark.
So.
Actually, have you been on Poshmark?
Not Poshmark. I have been on there. Oh, you said Poshmark. Yes. No, I have not been on Poshmark. But there's another one that I really like very well. Mm-hmm. What is it called? It's the one that, Farfetch.
Have you been on that?
Go on to download the app. Sometimes they'll have really good used, like Oscar de la Renta or my Off-White, which is like what my son loves. He wanted me to pay. One day we went out. He wanted us to pay $800 for a hoodie.
What?
He was like, dude, like, dad, come on. This is Off-White. I said, well, it's off my paycheck because we're not spending that much. And like the shoes weren't any better. Some of the shoes were like, what, $1,500, $2,000?
Yeah, the shoes were expensive.
And this was like urban wear. It was super expensive.
Yes, it was. Off-White is ridiculously expensive, but I mean, In his defense, it is pretty nice.
It looks nice.
It does look nice.
So, anyway, how was your 2 weeks, honey?
Oh, we've been busy. We've been packing.
Oh, that's right. All right, so we'll hold off on that. Amy, how was your 2 weeks?
Pretty good. Things are going well at the private practice. Fun queen. I live in a building with a lot of different apartments, so they just do trick or treat inside the building, which was nice because it was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were adorable, and they all wanted to pet Alexandra. That's my cat.
Oh, did you post pictures on social?
She didn't
feel like being petted.
Yeah, I was going to say she wasn't having it.
Nope.
No, I was wondering if you took pictures.
Because I bought her this darling bright orange collar with little bats on it and a huge orange bow in the same fabric.
Oh, I bet that was adorable.
Mm-hmm. She didn't think so. Oh. I liked it.
Wow.
Wow, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. We didn't dress up.
You were in tears.
I didn't dress the dogs up. My children are too old, they say, to trick or treat. So it was a sad Halloween for us. It's the first year that they didn't want to trick or treat with me.
But in our defense, like, our life is upside down. I guess, you know, are you ready to talk about finally?
We're packing. We're moving.
Yes, we are definitely moving. Do I have any sound effects? Yep, yes. If you haven't heard, we are moving. We are moving. We're moving to Massachusetts.
Yeah, so we're moving not across country, but up country.
Yeah, uptown, but an hour or so. Mm-hmm. Everyone
on a flight.
Basically on a flight, and we're moving. So when you hear us again, we're taking a little bit of a break, everyone.
Because we're moving.
Because we're moving. And then the next time you hear the show, it will be BPG Studios, like recorded from Martha's Vineyard. We'll be like live. Well, not live. We don't do live. We could do live at some point, but it'll be kind of cool. I actually started designing a logo for us guys that had sort of Martha's Vineyard in the background. I'm gonna keep playing with it and see, you know, what we can get into. But yeah, that's our exciting news. That's what we've been planning. Rebecca accepted a job up there. I suspended the campaign. I'm currently interviewing for jobs up there. And like I've been for a long time, actually. It's been something we've been wanting to do for a while. I don't know. Rebecca can live anywhere. She's pretty low-key. Like me, I got these really strict, like, oh, I want this, but I don't want that. I want this, but I won't want that. Like, I've decided, like, I don't necessarily want, I don't know. But I like small town. I like small communities. And I like feeling connected to people, so.
He's a townie.
I am kind of a townie.
He's a townie. So he wants to be in a small town, and that's great. That works for us. So, yeah, we're moving. So we're going to take a hiatus, sabbatical, what do you call it?
I don't know, and I'm hoping that Amy will do some features while we're gone so that, you know, I guess we'll upload
them. We'll still have some content, but it's going to be less content than you're used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. The grown-ups are actually about to leave the room and leave us alone with the podcast. What are we doing? Nobody will be here to supervise us, speaking to the guests.
Yeah, no one is going to be here to supervise.
That's true.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter and Facebook and everything what you want to hear, what you want to do.
That's true, because Amy, you're going to... Everyone, you should have Amy's Twitter handle by now.
We should make sure that we have it in this one, though.
We'll have it in this one, and you can reach out to Amy, and you guys
and
it's
the same on Instagram, but I pay more attention to my Twitter X.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you know, so it'd be interesting to see what you guys do over this next couple weeks.
Just as
we get our
weeks.
Lives together.
We gotta finish packing up. So we're pretty much packed up here. My parents are coming into town to help us finish packing up, and we're putting some stuff in storage and taking some stuff with us because we're mm-hmm. moving into a much smaller house.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be like tiny house living for a while. Yep. It'll be interesting, and we just need the time to, you know, get up there, get unpacked, get settled, get started in new jobs. Still in school, so still trying to finish up that, and it's a lot on the plate, so we're just gonna take a little break.
Yeah, Rebecca's boss, where she works now at Justice, he wasn't unhappy, but he was like that person that, you know, you break up with him and they're like, great. Great. Well, I love that for you.
I love that for you.
That's basically what he wanted to say. He basically wanted to say, you know, I love that for you. And
he's not happy I'm leaving.
No, like he literally was like, even though he was the one that said,
he pushed me out.
Don't get stuck in this chair.
Yeah, he told me not to get stuck in the chair and stay there for forever. So,
right. And, So it's pretty cool. Looking forward to being back in New England anyway. Wow, a short flight from Chicago, either way to Boston. I mean, we're already pretty close anyway. But
does Martha's Vineyard have its own airport?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, you'll get a direct flight.
Yeah.
I think they do directs from, I know they do directs from D.C. to the Vineyard. I'm pretty certain they do it from like O'Hare or whatever. If not, it's a flight into Boston, and then you jump off and get on a prop plane or a smaller plane and jump over. But there are way more flights to Martha's Vineyard than there used to be. And I think they expanded the runway too, just to be able to accommodate some of that a while ago. But Yeah, it's yeah, we're pretty excited about this movie. We're pretty excited and also scared all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And our youngest hates me.
Yeah, our oldest is ready to move because his college is going to be up there anyways. So we're actually going to be closer to his college. But our youngest is, of course, 13, and he has all of his friends down here, and he's comfortable and cozy, and he doesn't want to move. So he's got a little bit of an attitude about it all. But he's coming around. He is coming around. He seems to be halfway excited.
So, moving is brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beyond brutal.
In the days before internet and cell phones. Ugh. So you wrote actual letters to people and talked on the phone when it cost like $75 a minute for long distance, 75 cents a minute for long distance.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to explain to him. It's like, you guys are going to be connected in group chats and Snapchat, because that's what they do is the Snapchat. And it was like, you're not going to miss things. Mm-hmm. And we're going to...
I mean, he won't be there for stuff.
Well, we're going to, eighth grade does not like have a walk per se, like when you graduate high school, but the eighth grade down here in Maryland does a party. And so the counselors have told us that George Arthur is more than happy to come to the party at the end of eighth grade so he can finish eighth grade with a party with his friends from here. And then he can also do one up in Massachusetts with his friends from there. So... that'll be nice to do.
I also promised him that his dudes, you know, his friends can come visit him while we're up in Mass. I mean, honestly, they're some of the coolest kids. So it's like, I don't mind hosting kids. I mean, if they were just complete, like, oh, God, wretched, then, you know, I'd be like, that's okay, son. You could find new friends. But, you know, these are actually really cool friends. So.
Yeah, his friends are great.
I got to defend George Arthur. I will say, I always got a really nice present whenever we moved. When we moved to upstate New York, which is probably my least favorite place I've ever lived. My parents took me on a weekend to Toronto to see Phantom of the Opera.
Interesting.
And we pretty much bought out the entire gift shop at the theater.
Oh, wow.
That was
George Arthur, that one was made to spoil you over this.
So there we go. We owe him a gift.
We have to let him buy out one of the stores. We should probably take him to the Museum of Science and let him buy out as many rocks and stuff that he really loves.
Yeah, that's into his that thing kind is of rocks. Stuff. Yeah, we'd have to do that for him. We'll have to do that for him. Well, yeah. Do we want to...
It is a shorter show today. This week, as you know, we announced this kind of break.
It's just an announcement show, really.
Really,
it's
an announcement show. Show.
It's not an a show. Announcement show.
I know.
We don't have a guest or anything.
No. And yeah, it's. What did you want to do? A proverb, or
we can do a proverb and into the song if you want. Steven picked the song this week, y'all.
I did, but I did it. I didn't even know I did it.
All right, so it is a Chinese proverb. Oh, okay. Sorry. You got it. There you go.
There we go.
It's a Chinese proverb. It says, when the winds of change blow, some people build walls and others build windmills. And I like that because we've got a lot of change going on. And I think windmills are like, you know, you harness the wind and you make something good out of the change, whereas... you know, if you build a wall, you're more resistant to it. I liked that one.
Windmill also helps keep the energy flow. Like,
yeah.
Keeps things moving.
Yeah.
It's not stagnant.
Yeah.
That's true. What say you, Amy?
I like it just because you're making something of it, but... it takes time to build a windmill. You can't just start, you know, generating energy right away. It takes a little prep, a little work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
So you might not be windmilling right away.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a minute. That's good.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And a windmill, though, it produces energy, but it still requires a natural form of energy. So in other words, it's still, it helps. Well, what I guess what I'm trying to say is, I guess what I'm trying to say is that a windmill harnesses what is naturally going to happen to produce something even greater.
Yes, it does.
I took that from my old English days, you know. You know, you go. You sat around with like,
clove cigarettes
and goblets full of red wine.
Like clove cigarettes with the little gold ones.
Oh,
yes.
I used to like DiGiorno. I think that's what they were called. Mm-hmm. I think that was the ones. I'm not trying to like glamorize smoking cigarettes, but I thought I was a poet. Well, I was a poet. I mean, I was
a published poet.
I was a published poet, and I'd sit around with red wine and
you
my
just
friends.
Thought that you were like Oscar Wilde and all of them.
No, I was better than that. I mean, if anyone, I was going to be the next. I was going to be the next like Langston.
Langston.
You know, yeah. Even though some of my poetry got rather like, it did get as graphic as maybe an Oscar Wilde or, you know, someone like that. That's very true.
I should make you read some. I've never read yours.
No. So we went to this poetry slam, my buddy John and I, and it was a bunch of people. It was in Boston at this little cafe that was opened at the time on Huntington Avenue. And everyone read their poem, and then I read mine. And after I read mine, people were just like, I don't know what to say. And one person said, I think I need a hot shower or something. Because it was very intense. It was tense. But not all of my poetry was like that. My poetry was very, I mean, I wrote like Blake oftentimes, like very, like, talking. Oh, that was you. I'm like, babe, you're getting into sound effects?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I hit the button wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I miss writing poetry. I just don't have the same poetic. I don't know if it's just not in me anymore. I don't know where that person is. That Stephen, that poet.
Maybe you just don't have that time like you used to.
That's true, because, you know, we could go wake up at 5 in the morning and John and I could go and walk around Walden Pond. The sun would rise. The fishermen were in the pond fishing. Huh?
Walden Pond.
Yes. And we would talk about how Thoreau was full of crap. And then we would debate the meaning of life and...
Yeah, I just politics. Think that you don't have the time like you used to. You're a dad now, you're married, you got stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true. I have all these other things that I have to be creative for.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Okay, well, the song that Stephen picked is A Tribe Called Quest, is the artist, and the name of the song is Melatonin, and it is explicit lyrics because of one word.
Oh, yeah. So A Tribe Called Quest, I love them because when they started out in a time in the back in the 80s and 90s, in the 90s, when like positive hip hop, conscious hip hop was around. But then they took that and sort of weaved that in with a new sound and a new take. It was really pretty cool because it was more from like KRS-One to like them. And it was definitely an interesting time to be into hip hop, you know, growing up, to watch that evolution, especially as Busta Rhymes came in. I mean, who was this wacky, wild Jamaican, you know, person all over the screen? I love them. They're pivotal to the what is now the greatness of hip hop. That from a poetry and artistic perspective that we experience today. So,
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
brother ain't a brother, but pop melatonin like they Swedish fish. To give her everything's my dying wish. Role play, she plays the mannequin. Raising my hand, teach us is not again. The sun is up, but I feel down again. On just one hand, I can count all my friends. The understudy for the star, the show must go on. I'm a beast on a leash, I'm towed from the lawn. Another notch in my belt, the food's getting scarce. Another notch in my belt, she shakes up the stairs. Drink liquid confidence, the killer's our defense. Get rid of what's tense and makes life make sense. As I come off the fence and break through defense. Anxiety is on the ropes and it's getting intense. Population getting tired now, and everybody wants to spy it now. Racist emails fire out. We did it in the dark, it's coming out. The world is crazy and I cannot sleep, but melatonin good enough to eat, but I read the paper so that I can see what. I'd rather stay indoors and make a beat, but my mother said a lot of lies was through me. Her Bible was like her Thule, peasy headed and unruly. I made her think she got to me, following the trailer reefer. And niggas talking through speakers, fattest laces through my sneakers. The rappers were ghetto preachers, thought I had it, so I tried it. For so long I would just hide it, then I made the crowd say, oh, and so them all get excited. I was hooked, I couldn't shake it, the more I got I would take it. Couldn't sleep and couldn't eat, but this life I would not forsake it. Said I really dream in color now, and every brother ain't a brother now. Pop melatonin like these Swedish fish. Together everything my dying wish.
One of them grew up in a real, like, funky household. Like, you know, like, it was, I mean, that's like this mix. Their sound has matured in, you know, like, over the years, hasn't it? I mean, it's amazing. It's very jazzy. It's bluesy. It's,
yeah, I liked that.
You know, it's the kids, those of us who grew up with them, now we're all sitting at coffee shops and lounges, you know, with hookahs and just talking, because we're not out there sweating out our outfits and dancing like we got fools. So
yeah, that song came out in 2016.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Anyway. Well, any closing remarks, Amy?
Not so far. Just that probably on Instagram and Twitter, I'll be sending out some ideas for a show that I might like to do while Stephen and Rebecca aren't supervising us. If people have got any great ideas for shows or think they might want to be guests, feel free to contact me. I think Stephen's going to post that contact information.
Yes, we will. We definitely will.
And
reach out to Amy so you guys can have shows and do fun stuff.
Yeah, and wish us luck. Wish we don't all kill each other, and wish we make it. And the next time you hear from us, hopefully we'll be like, oh my God, this was the greatest move ever.
It was the easiest move.
It was easy. It was smooth.
Yeah, hopefully we get there.
Right. Doubt it, but you know, we'll have a full readout when we get back, and then hopefully we'll start planning. We'll be in the process of planning our symposium for the new year.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. People have been super excited about it. But I know LaShawn mm-hmm. and Eugene are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Have a great week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We'll see you when we get back. You'll hear from Amy before then.
Bye.
Bye.